Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I'm Sarabjeet Kaur, and today's edition is focused on the upcoming elections in five states and union territories of India, Assam, Kerala, Puducherry, Tamil Nadu, and West Bengal. These elections are particularly significant because each of these regions has its own unique political landscape, social issues, and voter priorities. Each election tells an important story about democracy in action. The Election Commission of India, during the press briefing, has notified the dates and the model code of conduct has been enforced.
All 126 assembly constituencies for Assam, the polling shall take place on 9th of April, Thursday, 2026. All 140 assembly constituencies of Kerala shall also go for polling on 9th April. Puducherry also will go along with Assam and Kerala. Tamil Nadu, all 234 assembly constituencies will go for poll on 23rd of April in one phase, and the counting shall be on the same day for all the five states slash UT, that is 4th of May 2026. West Bengal, the 294 assembly constituencies, the polling shall be held in two phases. In the first phase, 152, and the second phase, 142. The date of poll shall be 23rd of April and 29th of April, and the counting shall be together for all, that is 4th of May 2026.
To take a deep dive into this and to understand this better, we have with us Mr. K.V. Prasad, political analyst. Mr. Prasad, welcome to the discussion.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Prasad, the Chief Election Commission of India has done the press briefing, the dates have been notified, and the stage is all set for the Festival of Democracy. At the outset, we'd like to know from you, the elections have been notified for five states. Each of these states has their own political culture. Each of these states shall be posing their own voter concerns. How do these elections reflect the broader trends and priorities shaping democracy in India today?
Well, I think as you described it rightly, and so did the Chief Election Commissioner, that this is a festival of democracy and people look forward to once in 5 years, if not earlier, to come and exercise their franchise and elect a government, hand over the governance to a political party or a set of political parties as they deem fit. That having been said, the question is of these two states are in the south of India and one in northeast, which is Assam and West Bengal, and of course the Union Territory of Puducherry, which is next to it, Tamil Nadu. So the dynamics, as you also mentioned, are different in each state. Most importantly, as we notice, except for Assam, where the BJP is in the governance for the last 10 years, in fact. Other states, it is a mixed bag. Kerala, as you mentioned, is a coalition politics all throughout. Tamil Nadu, is dominance of the DMK has been there. But this time, it will be interesting to watch whether a third force is likely to emerge or not, because in the absence of AIADMK's tall leader, Jayalalitha, the party has lost a significant leadership issues, but they very much there in the electoral fray. Of course, West Bengal is Mamata Banerjee's led the Trinamool Congress, has been in government for the last 15 years. So that again offers a challenge of itself. So I think at the outset, this is a landscape as it appears to me here.
The Chief Election Commissioner during the press briefing referred to Article 326. He made mention about the special intensive revision and called it a massive democratic exercise. Let's hear what the Chief Commissioner had to say about this.
Pure electoral rolls are the bedrock of any democracy. With this objective, the special intensive revision is being conducted as per Article 326 of the Constitution to ensure that no eligible elector is left out while no ineligible person is included in the electoral rolls. I congratulate all election officials who were involved in this work for ensuring its smooth conduct and completion.
Mr. Prasad, very heavy, important words. No eligible elector is left out while no ineligible person is included in the rolls. What's your comment on this?
Well, I think that nobody can question the fact that the electoral rolls need to be cleaned up. You cannot have voters who are not eligible to become voting in any election. And this was a periodic exercise for a long time till there was a discontinuation for some administrative or some other reason. Now that has begun, I think the political parties, we've heard this debate in the country for a long time. What my sense is, there's no question of people, you know, raising a doubt over the exercise itself being done, because the Election Commission is, the Constitution gives them very clear, right, as the Election Commission himself made it very clear. And this has also been tested in the Apex Court. But the fact is, some people have raised issues, not so much on the, they've talked about the manner in which it was conducted. That probably was raised some questions. And probably, as we see now, the election commissioners have held the press conference today. They've maintained the sanctity of that whole exercise, will be maintained and what maintained. Of course, the last phase in West Bengal, because Supreme Court case and other things have come in. But as such, as a ground rule, I think the SIR exercise has to go on. And this was a periodic exercise in the past. And again, this time it has taken up. And if you remember, after the Bihar elections, at that time when this exercise was conducted, the election commissioner had announced and made the intention clear that this will be done throughout the country now. So I think that is what we see in the states which are now heading for elections in the coming months.
Mr. Prasad, you just mentioned about West Bengal, so let's talk about that in just a little more detail. Now, well, in this state, the upcoming elections are being closely watched. It's being seen a contest among prominent political fronts, and voters are evaluating governance, development, social issues, making this a very critical moment for the state's democratic process. And also the fact that the elections in this state are to be carried out in two phases, which is not the case in any other state. So what's your comment on this? What is the significance of this?
Well, I think the two phases are largely because of, one, the spread is too much. There are 294 seats to be in when elections are to be conducted, as against only in Tamil Nadu is 234. But I think it's also something to do with the placement of security forces to ensure that, because the election commissioners have maintained also that this will be a clean election, free of violence, which has been the track record for a pretty long time. So that, to maintain that sanctity and probably apprehension of some violence, to make sure that no such incidents do come place, because even in the last few days, we have seen some kind of skirmishes. Sometimes more than that, there was some violence or attacks against one another. So make sure that such a thing doesn't happen in the run-up to the elections. And remember, there'll be a 14-day campaign. And as it is now, every party will be in poll mode. So the tempers are bound to be rising, on the political temperature is going to rise. So to make sure that the elections are free, fair, and without any violence, I think this could be the one possible reason why it is to be divided in. And also remember, part of it comes because of the border area through which some of the districts in West Bengal are also there. So you need to ensure that at this point of time, the system remains robust.
The Chief Election Commissioner of India made special appeal to youth during the press briefing and also to first-time voters. He said that they are stepping into one of the most important responsibilities, urging the youth to cast their vote with pride and confidence. Let's first hear what the Election Commission had to say on this.
Election Commission of India is also prepared to welcome each and every voter to their polling stations and provide them with a pleasant and comfortable voting experience. I would also like to make a special appeal to our youth and the first-time voters. My dear friends, you are about to step into one of the most important responsibilities of your life, exercising your democratic right, the right to vote. I urge you to participate enthusiastically in this great democratic exercise and cast your vote with pride, responsibility, and confidence.
Mr. Prasad, we'd like to have your expert comment on this. On the reciprocal side, do you see this kind of energy in the youth of the country too?
Well, of course, elections are an important, and remember, the first-time voters are more enthusiastic because they realize the enormous advantage they have to come and cast their vote and decide who they want to hand over the keys of governance and have a say in it. I mean, at least I remember when I got the first time to vote, and that time we were still not getting voted at 18, but at 21 years. So there was a lot of enthusiasm and excitement to go and cast a ballot for the first time. So I'm sure many such things happen to many other people. Of course, there is one flip side, because there have been some tendencies in certain democracies where the youth don't seem to be so encouraged to come and participate. But in India, we have seen there is a lot of enthusiasm among the youth. And also the fact the Election Commission takes special steps to kind of promote through brand ambassadors, encourage the youth to come out and vote. So I think that's, and also political parties do their own work to make sure that the voters turn out. Because the biggest challenge for any system is to get out the vote, as they call. And I think that is here. And the Chief Election Commissioner himself made it very clear that they expect the youth to turn out in large numbers, especially those between 20 plus and 25 or 18 to 25. I think that's a very important segment which matters to everybody.
Taking cue from just what you said, Mr. Prasad, keeping the excitement high. The tagline, Festival of Elections, our pride. Chunav ka parv, hum sab ka garv. What's your feel? Do such motivating taglines actually inspire the youth of the country and not only the youth, everybody who's eligible to cast their vote to exercise their franchise and contribute to this festival of democracy?
Well, certainly. I mean, these are tremendous lines to kind of make people to come out and vote. Of course, there is also one element which, the Election Commission is not thinking, but what political parties come out with there, what are they going to offer? That also drives in, and because there are governments already in place, so people start evaluating whether the promises made were kept. The government of the day promised when they took to office, say, 5 years ago, did the state move in the direction particular, number one, number two, the promises kept, and number three, all the concerns which every citizen and different sections have different concerns, if those were addressed. Because if they are not addressed, then of course the numbers do increase. If everybody is satisfied, sometimes the numbers do decrease. This has been a traditional pattern. But nonetheless, two things we have seen in the last few decades at least. A, the number of young people do turn up and good numbers. The women voters have participation has increased, so that is a very healthy sign. So overall percentages we've seen have been above 60%, I mean, to use a ballpark figure. So I think that's important to notice. Nonetheless, as I said, political parties have their own role to play. The Election Commission can provide a level playing field for all parties to come out and make sure that the citizen of the country feels confident and comes to the voting booth to exercise the franchise.
Mr. Prasad, I'd like to bring your attention to more specific questions like in Assam, the election battle doesn't seem to be constricted to single issues, but a mix of basic civic needs, tribal and community identity politics, welfare policies, coalition and alliance dynamics, and broader debates over development versus cultural identity. Now, what's your view about this? What is the relevance of such kind of issues in today's scenario?
No, they do relevant in the sense because these are elections for a state and every state has its own, as I said in the beginning, has its own dynamics, has its own issues, has its own concerns, has its own priorities. And these priorities differ not within the state, but within the region too. There is different regions of the states have different priorities. And the point you mentioned, whether it is a question of there are tribals, there are other people there, and we've been hearing time and again issues over the last many years about the question of infiltration, what kind of a demography situation is going to arise. People are concerned on that. And remember, Assam and all these places had witnessed in the last century a lot of issues on this whole foreigners agitation, as it's called, in the 80s, which led to the students coming to power in the 80s. We've seen all that. But nonetheless, some of the issues have been addressed, some remain festering, or some new issues emerge over a period of time. So this is very much part of electoral politics. And as I said, each state has its own priorities, each state has its own concerns, each state has its own challenges. And that's where political parties try and address them and offer, try and say that we're going to do this, we're going to solve this. And those are already in government, will obviously have something to show. And if it's not done, the opposition tries to say, look, you promised this, so I mean, vote us in power. So this is a very, very normal way in which we see elections going around, especially as we enter the poll mode.
Well, Kerala is known for its politically aware voters because of its high literacy rate. What are the kind of issues that are dominating the election scene in Kerala?
Kerala, as you mentioned, is a highly literate state and a mere 1% vote sometimes changes the government. That has been seen in the past. And also there are a lot of correlations within the societies who look at their priorities differently. So that comes out to play. And all these years we have seen in the last almost 30, 40, 50 years is there has been either one coalition led by, say, the Congress, which is known as the United Democratic Front, which has a few coalition partners, or the Left Democratic Front, which was led by the CPIM, Communist Party of India Marxists. So this has been alternating over a period of time. But here, this time, over the last, in fact, more than a decade, the BJP, the Bharatiya Janata Party, is trying to make inroads. And as we've seen in the last Lok Sabha election, they were successful in getting a representation in the Lok Sabha. So this has injected a new kind of dynamics in the state. But this is a state elections, so we have to wait and see how it moves forward from where we are. Nonetheless, this again, like all states, every state has its own uniqueness. Kerala has its own unique culture, which is people watch.
Mr. Prasad, thank you very much for sparing your valuable time and throwing such insightful points on this discussion.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. Spotlight.